Off the Ball Daily.
A home for your favourite podcasts from Off the Ball.
My memory is when something was is based on sporting events. How do you know that was 2009? Oh, that was the year Ireland won the Grand Slam. It's like, oh, weird.
Subscribe to the Off the Ball Daily podcast feed right now.
Zeebo going on his own! He gets
the
try!
The Red 78.
We're both Munster people.
Whoever gets over the line, try for Munster!
Nobody knows Munster rugby better.
Hello folks, you're very welcome along to the Red 78, a Munster podcast for Munster fans. My name is Rory O'Hagan from Off The Ball. Delighted to be joined by Munster legends Alan Quinlan and Fiona Hayes. As over the next 40 minutes or so, we discuss the win over the Ospreys last week. Not Munster's best performance, but still a bonus point win. And we look ahead to the clash with Cardiff coming up this weekend at Thomond Park on Saturday. Plenty to discuss, plenty to sink our teeth into. Fiona, Alan, how are you? It's been good to see you.
Good, Rory. Good. Looking forward to the match now at the weekend. So I was able to go out and enjoy it and watch the match on Friday night. And then Saturday was supporting they didn't get over to France, was supporting the women, which was a good enough performance defensively anyway. So pretty happy and looking forward to next week's women's game.
Yeah, exactly. Not a whole lot of Munster representation on that women's team though, Fiona.
No, just the one, Dorothy, flying the flag, Dorothy Wall flying the flag. So, look, that's something, we've chatted about it before, but that's something obviously we need to change it in the up and coming years, because I'm even with Bose and there's a lot of talent out there. So we need to see what we got to do to get more Munster girls onto that squad anyway.
Yeah, exactly. How did Dorothy play?
Yeah, good. She's in the second row, so she done really well. There were some very good performances, but I think defensively in particular, she was excellent. Didn't see her on the ball a lot, but I think they just from that second row position, she was definitely hitting a lot of rucks, making a huge big hit, so she had a good old game.
Great to see. Quinny, how are you, sir?
Good, thanks. Yeah, very good, Rory. I was, did the Munster game on Friday night, and Leinster game Saturday night. It was a good URC weekend, actually, surprisingly enough, after not surprisingly enough, but, you know, the transition. We haven't seen all the internationals back with the squads, just some of the ones on the fringes. We're going to see them all back this week. But, it was a good weekend, and I agree with Fiona. It was great to see the Ireland women's team showing a lot of grit, determination. I'm sure they don't want any moral victories or pats on the back for effort, but I think there's good positive signs there that they've improved in a couple of areas, and obviously there's more to do and more to work on, but it was positive to see. So hopefully they can beat Italy this weekend.
Yeah, fingers crossed. If you missed it last week, if you haven't seen it, if you haven't heard it, the three of us sat down with Munster attack coach Mike Prendergast for what turned out to be a very interesting hour-long chat, guys, and Fiona, the insight he gave us was absolutely fascinating.
Yeah, it was brilliant, and especially from my coaching perspective as well. I loved it, and just how his career has progressed. It was interesting to hear that, and how you kind of, I suppose, make that transition from a player to a coach, and how that happens as well. So it's a really good episode, and he was just his voice is actually so calm, and I even enjoyed it. I listened back to him again on just a couple of parts, and you know, he really knows his stuff, and you can see the change in the Munster attack, especially in the last couple of years. His footprint is definitely in there, you can see it.
And Quinny, you and he are very good friends, and you were looking forward to chatting to him on the podcast for a while. And as I said to Fiona, look, just amazing insight from him on just, I suppose, how coaching has evolved and where he is now at the moment.
Yeah, it's always interesting to listen to coaches, particularly with their own kind of views and the way they view the game and how things change. Obviously, the fundamentals of rugby are still the same as they were, you know, 20 years ago. 30 years ago, you know, set piece, scrum, line out, being physical, making your tackles, all that kind of stuff. But what's changed a lot is the tactical approach, techniques around breakdown, the pace of the game, the being more creative around breaking down defences, all that kind of stuff. So it's always interesting to listen, you know, and me being out of the game for a good period of time now, I'm always intrigued by the pressures, the challenges, the ups and downs that they have, but also how they prepare and how they analyse opposition. So Mike is, you know, he's he's a student of the game, obviously, and very much always trying to find new ways. So I know him very well, and I found that really interesting as regards, you know, just talking about shape and counter-attack and things like that. Obviously, coaches can't give away secrets and their own ingredients of what they do week in, week out. But, yeah, the game has become much faster and more technical, and it's all about technique and your body placement and your tackles, even the way you carry the ball. So there's a lot going on there for modern-day rugby players. There's a lot of meetings, strategies, analysing, all that stuff. And I think Mike has brought great detail to Munster's attack, which is very evident in what the way they performed last season. And you know, fortunate thing for an attack coach is he can't control what goes on up front regarding scrums and lineouts, and that impinges your whole attack. So when I say about the basics haven't changed, you need to have a scrum and a lineout, and you need that physicality up front. So that can affect your attack at times. And the ups and downs they've had this year with Munster, with all the injuries as well and the setbacks. So they're in a good position, and they've got themselves into a good position. Obviously, there's tougher challenges to come, but they've 5 wins in the bounce, which is, I'm sure that would have pleased them. I'm putting in the Crusaders and the Harlequins match there as well, but it breeds confidence. And I know we're going to talk about the Ostriches game last Friday night. That's the main role of the podcast here, to look back at that and look ahead to Cardiff. But wasn't their most clinical performance, wasn't their most dominant, but the big positive is it's another 5 points, and it's their second away win and on the road during the season, which is really important for belief as well. So yeah, they put themselves in a good position. They're up to 4th in the table, which is really important, and big challenges coming in the next few weeks for sure. But yeah, Mike, going back to your question, Mike was always interesting to talk, and I like listening to all these coaches, because you pick up little things about how they view the game as well.
Yeah, you certainly do. And Off the Ball members can listen to that podcast in full. To become a member, go to offtheball.com/join. We have gotten lots of messages into the show about Munster's performance last week. They've, I suppose, the bulk of them, Fiona Hayes, are basically saying, look, it was a good win. Not exactly Munster's best performance, but a win is a win.
Yeah, I think everyone was thinking the same. I'll read out a few now, but first of all, thanks for getting them in. Unfortunately, we can't read them all, but yeah, we'll start with Babs. Babs thought Niall Scannell had a great game. 2 intercept tries won't happen very often, but Sean did brilliantly to make the most of the opportunities. Delighted to see Jack O'Donoghue back, but she's very biased. Mid-table is tight, so every point will matter. King of Munster had Nankerville badly missed a 12. I personally agree on that one as well. I'm hoping he's back this week. Scannell doesn't bring that ball carrying and defensive dominance on the field. Hard to call the scrum issues, as it seems Ospreys were illegal for the ones where we were driven back. Finished it off when Ospreys came sniffing, which is good. Eamon, positives for Rory Scannell. Rory Scannell should get danger money for fielding every kickoff. Leamy's double tackle defence left us with nowhere, left Ospreys with nowhere to run. We'll need to get our scrum fixed before the Saints and the South Africa trip. Quinny, you'll enjoy this one. Chris Tobin, our front row is and still a major problem. Defensively, we were good, and for once we took our chances. P.S. Allen, who won the FA Cup quarter final in Old Trafford, so he's getting all that Man United dig in there.
He's getting a Man United dig in there. Yeah, they've been quiet for a good while, but particularly against us, Liverpool fans. But anyway, fair play, they got through.
What was the score again, Quinny? Just remind the listeners there in case.
Oh yeah, you're one of them again.
You're one of them.
It was 4-3, Rory.
Thanks for the time. I'd forgotten.
You play Coventry now, so you're in the final. So until you win it.
Keep it short.
Yeah, keep your powder dry, and we'll see you in the league Easter weekend or the weekend after. Good moral victory for you. If you don't win it now, you'll have egg in your face if you don't win it after all.
Exactly.
But look, it was they've been probably, when you think back to some of the results in the last couple of years, Liverpool have humiliated United, so maybe it was a little bit of sweet revenge there for the United fans. Fair enough.
He had to get that one in. I'll do a couple more. Arch Saunton defence was impressive, very organised, and big double hits all over the park. Still a bit worrying to see Munster let teams back into games in the last quarter, but overall a solid performance, especially considering Munster had very little possession. Dahi said, well, Fiona and Quinny, I'm still wondering how we pull that win off. They play poorly and still will cliche is doing some heavy lifting here. Only our second URC away win this season and soon facing two very difficult away games in South Africa. It's squeaky bum time now.
It certainly is. Let's take up that point from Dahi there, Fiona. How did Munster pull off that win, considering that it wasn't their best performance and they still ended up with a bonus point win?
Yeah, look, I think that's what impressed me about the game in general. I thought, you know, obviously they'd very, I think territory, they'd only 28%. You know, they were just clinical at the start of the game. They'd some big turnover moments as well. They'd seven huge turnovers. Penalties conceded probably wasn't great. They're up around the 12 mark. So they look at that. But I think they got the win, and it was alluded to in a lot of the tweets with how defensively they played. I spoke about the turnovers, but those double hits, they were putting Ospreys back. Too good. You could say lucky intercepts, but really well taken intercept tries. I just felt like they were top in control after being 19-0 up around that 20-minute mark, that they kind of knew that, you know, and probably not so much played like that, but I felt like the attack died off a little bit at stages after that. But that's to say Ospreys at home, you know, they are a good team and they really put it up to Munster. But I really felt in watching the game throughout that, yes, they got within a touching distance at one stage, but it was definitely Munster, really, you really felt if they needed to up the level, up the gears, go again, lift that attack, that they could have. And I suppose bonus point to win away from home. Couple of guys back from injuries. Snyman, I thought, had another good game again. Speaking about turnovers, he had some magical offloads at times. But it wasn't the best performance, but it just felt like a job done. I think someone tweeted in as well, job done, moving on next. And I think that's what that performance felt like to me, that they went out, they went hard definitely in those 20 minutes and probably in control, didn't put the game to bed, and that might be worrying come the latter end of the season. But look, for me, I thought it was a good performance.
Yeah, Cunny, a lot of people saying that like Munster weren't impressive and it wasn't a good performance, but I would argue that not being at your best, not being impressive and still winning and getting a bonus point win is in itself impressive.
Well, it shows resilience, and it can be frustrating too, because I think to get a bonus point win over against the Ospreys, and I would have probably looked at this game for a while the same way as Munster and any Munster fans, and realised this was probably the trickiest one in this block of four league games. We saw what the Ospreys did to Ulster the last time. They've been very, very dangerous throughout the season. Like, to be fair, they're 11th in the table, so it's not as if they're up near the top. But I think there's a lot of evidence to say that they're a very settled team. They only had three or four away with Wales, not hugely affected throughout the Six Nations block. So a dangerous side, and they proved and showed that. I think if you look at the attack and the way they tried to play the game, you know, they had 8 clean line breaks in the game, 18 defenders beaten. Munster only had 6. It kind of shows that Munster didn't really have a lot of ball. 11 offloads from the Ospreys. You know, as Fiona mentioned, the territory, you know, they were playing in the right areas of the field, more possession. Munster had to make nearly double the amount of tackles, which is not really something we associate with this team in recent times. You know, they've been, I would expect Munster to be good at holding on to possession, and I think it's one thing they've been pretty decent at. So, look, it's away from home. It's difficult. The discipline was poor. I thought there was a lot of needless penalties. That's common for me, the expert at giving away penalties when I played, because that's exactly what people think sometimes when I talk about penalties. But, look, I think they will... certainly, the kind of... to get the job done is always a positive. But there's such fine margins, Rory, in a game where you look at in any sport, we'll always lean towards, oh, well, they got the job done, they didn't play their best, and that's a sign of a good team. And it, a lot of the time it can be true. But I just think that I don't like it. I didn't like that performance the other night. I thought that, yes, I do agree with Fiona as well. I felt that if they needed to go after it, they probably would have been able to, in a sense that when Sam Parry scores in the 53rd minute, I think pretty much that made it quite tight and a little bit of nervy, and gave Ospreys certainly a belief that they were right back in the game. You know, at one stage, Munster 19-0 up, you know what I mean? But RG Snyman's try 4 minutes later kind of gives you that feeling that, yes, this is the best kind of passage of play we've seen, from holding onto the ball, being aggressive, you know, being on the front foot, winning gain line, stuff like that. And then Snyman scores a try and you think, right, that's probably going to let the air out of deflate the Ospreys a little bit. And they kept going. I thought Munster were really sloppy and they made it really difficult for themselves. And the reality here is, if you go back, Shane Daly's try, super execution from Munster, great pace, but it's just poor defence from the Ospreys. You will not get that kind of space and opportunity all the time. Now, Munster exploited it really well. I think Alex Cuthbert came in off the wing and they were no man's land. Haley runs a great line. There's a super pass from Carberry to start it. All that kind of stuff was brilliant. Shane Daly pins the ears back. Brilliant try, brilliant start. And then you have Sean O'Brien's two intercepts. The first one, he goes all the way, did fantastically well. And the other one then, when he kicks it upfield, and he gets, there's no doubt about it, there's a huge amount of luck there. You create your own luck. But there's three tries that Munster had very little kind of pressure, phases to build, aggression to kind of expend on the opposition, and they're 19-0 up. So I just wonder if it was a difference, if those tries didn't go in, would Munster have had the ability, and would they have changed gears and kind of had it? So in some sense, it relaxed Munster probably a little bit, the scoreline. This is too easy. We've got three tries. And then taking away the little bit of ruthlessness that you want to see from the team, I think that was probably a little bit disappointing. But overall, yes, fantastic. 5 points on the road. Only second time this season they've won away from home. So in the league, so it's a fantastic return. You have 15 points from Scarlets, Zebre, and Ospreys with Cardiff to come. I know we'll talk about that towards the end of the show, but that's the big positive, really. The negative here is maybe the urgency, the work rate of some players, and the set piece. You know, really, really worrying when you see a scrum being under so much pressure like that. There was three scrum penalties, you know, in that first half. And, you know, it frustrates people, and it's a real important, vital cog in your game. And I just thought that, of course, the Ospreys scrum is decent. Parry's a very strong hooker, scrummager. Nicky Smith, really destructive. He's 50 caps for Wales. And Tom Botha, South African. You don't ever get a bad South African scrummaging prop. So Munster didn't really react to it. And I thought they were going to sort it out after the first scrum or two, but it kept going. And Nicky Smith went off, and he was the last to Ospreys, because he was doing untold damage there. And John Ryan was just scrummaging way too high, and they were popping that front row. So I'd be a little bit negative as regards some of the stuff. But obviously, and I know it as a player, and some people might critique me and say, well, I'm being a little bit hard on them. I kind of analyse this the way I would as a player if I was in the dressing room or a coach. And there's certain areas there that I'd be disappointed with. Other areas that I'd say, well, there is grit and there is determination. And the one big plus is the way they defend it. But just need to manage the game better like that and control the tempo and just make good decisions when they get into good areas. When you think of Craig Casey there at one part in the second half, he kicks it. They turned it over there on the line. When they looked like possibly scoring, I think Morris, the number 8, knocked it on. Archer picks it up, makes a pass right on the line. They kick it down the field. Craig Casey does a great clearance. Munster in the opposition 22, and it's Ospreay's line out, and we give away a penalty straight away. So Williams then kicks it downfield, and a couple of minutes later, you're defending for the next 10 minutes again. Whereas that was the time where just pin them back, keep them in their own 22, let them clear it to touch, make it difficult. You then have the line out, and then you're staying up in that area of the field. So just, you could break down little moments throughout the game. Again, I just think you know, you're going to get punished in the latter part when you're well within your rights to be challenging. I think if Munster have everyone fit and available, they're not going to have everyone back, but I think in the next few weeks, and if they get into the playoffs and get in a good place in the playoffs, they're going to be a handful for anyone. But some of these small basic errors that they're making, they need to fix and remedy.
And that is it for part one of the Red 78, a Munster podcast for Munster fans. To listen to the full episode where we talk about our star of the week and look ahead to this week's clash with Cardiff, become an Off The Ball member. Check out offtheball.com/join for all the details. You can become a member on the Off The Ball app, Apple, Spotify or YouTube for $9.99 a month.
The Red 78. Nobody knows Munster rugby better.
I'd like to think I know a lot,